AU. Subscribe. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron. Hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 326, recorded August 28th, 2013. I am your host, Brian Kilby, and I bring you caffeine. This is not Red Bull.
It's third delicious. Party Red Bull.
If you're listening to the podcast, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but just go with it. With me this week we have Diecast, XV, Headmaster Don, and Rob Clay. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Pretty good.
JD was going to be here this week, but he's sick. He's getting that a lot. Poor guy. Get to feeling better, JD. So, we actually have quite a bit going on this week, and I haven't even had a chance to go back and look at all of the news. We didn't do a live show last week. Instead, we aired our panel from Sharktacon, which, Don, what did you think?
You all do terrible impersonations, and you should not look at that to make a living out of. Other than that, I wish I was there.
You know, Don, I really think the impressions were closer than you believe they are.
No, XV, you were wrong. I'm sorry, but I'm making the same decision, and you're wrong.
Rob Springer was pretty dead on.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it, but, you know.
The pitch may have been a little bit different, but he got, like, the mannerism and, you know, the speech pattern pretty well. He was definitely in the spirit of Headmaster Don, if not, you know, perfectly in voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is correct.
All in all, I do wish I could have been there to, at the very least, you know, helped out a little bit. But I'm glad y'all had fun, and I'm glad everyone had fun. And I'm glad we got it for coming for 2015.
Yeah, 2015.
Totally.
And I was talking to Jake this weekend. Jake is one of the co-organizers. I went down to his store in Charlotte. And I'm like, dude, you know, when I saw that it was 2015, I was like, I thought they were doing this every other year. And then I thought, wait. I'm like, holy crap, it's 2013.
Yep.
I'm like, God, 2015 is the year after next. I was thinking it was 2 years from now. Getting so old.
You want the next year over?
I wanted 2014, but, you know.
Obviously.
I'll take what I can get. But I'm excited about that. Really, really enjoyed that. SavCon is coming up June of next year, so I think we're going to try our best to hit that. Maybe, SlagaCon this year in October. That's kind of iffy for maybe me and Don Diecast. Maybe not. Don't know. Just depends what that looks like. Yeah. But definitely making Sharktacon and definitely making SavCon.
Yeah, October and retail are not the best times to try to get off from work.
Yeah.
Because you got that little thing called Christmas coming up.
So, like I said, last week we aired our Sharktacon panel, but we actually did record a show. We were guests on the TFYLP podcast, which is the Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, hosted by Weird Wolf. And it was fun. All of us were there. He was like, yeah, we'll have three people. You have three people. And
we're bringing seven.
Yeah.
We totally derailed it.
Oh, we completely derailed it, but it was fun. It was fun.
Oh yeah. It was a whole different dynamic going on.
Yes. That's exactly what I was saying. It was completely different than what we normally talk about. Don was in heaven. Don found like kindred spirits. It was amazing.
Someone else likes Brave. I mean, that's awesome in and of itself.
I was happy and impressed. One of them knew what Gundam Battle Operation was, so hey.
Yeah, it was pretty great. You can find them at, I think it's tfylp.geekexistence.com, but I also posted that to tfradio.net if you subscribe on iTunes or through RSS, and you really should if you're not, you will have downloaded that. So that will be in there. It's called, I think it's called RFC on TFYLP, so check that out. That was fun. It's 2.5 hours of interesting Transformers-related content.
So the spirit of Fanboy Versus was with us that night.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was pretty fun. I guess we should probably jump into some news. Diecast, you were at OmegaCon this past weekend. How did that go?
It was awesome. It was their first time. Keith, the organizer, did a great job. A lot of the dealers got to set up Friday. I was there helping set up and just hanging out with everyone. I got to hang out with, don't kill me if this is wrong. I think his name was Chris, and that was the guy from Frenzy Rumble. And we actually went out, got some Philly cheesesteaks since we're in Philly, and went back to the bar and had a beer. So hung out all night Saturday night. If I said Friday, I meant Saturday because the event was on Sunday. And then Sunday morning, they were giving out gift bags. So they had 30 gift bags to give out to the first 30 people in line. About 8 o'clock in the morning, I got there. It opened at 9.
And you were there from 4:30?
No. I got there at 8, and there was like 20 people in line already. And as soon as I got in line, one of the guys goes, "I know you. You're on the podcast I listen to." So it was an awesome day, and it was actually – they had a pretty good turnout. Phil Lamar was there. The dealer room was awesome. I took a lot of pictures, and I also did the custom Transformer, which was the Rodimus out of Wheeljack, which I actually didn't do too bad on. So
you know, that's pretty – I never thought of it. That mold would make a great prime hot rod.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
It's close enough too. You could kind of squint at it and think it's IDW-ish.
And the head is a fake Buster head, and that also needed to be painted. And we only had 4 hours for the class. We had 2 hours and then a break and another 2 hours. So it was a little rushed. But Chris did a great job teaching the class and showing us what to do, especially for me, because I'm not artistic at all. So for me to be able to do it and come out with a decent product really says that anyone can do these classes, especially if he's teaching them. And I just did some little touch-ups last night. I maybe spent like another hour and a half on it. And I didn't clear it or put the stickers on yet. So I still have some work to be done, but it was enough where I could assemble it.
Hey, so Diecast, Animated Plastic in the chat's wanting to know if you had to sign any autographs.
No, I didn't sign any autographs. People did recognize me, but I didn't have to sign any autographs.
It was probably the hair.
So, and then I won a couple prizes. They had a whole table full of door prizes, and one of the things I won was the Legacy Morpher.
Oh, very nice.
So, nice.
Yeah. It was something I wanted to pick up, and I just hadn't yet. So it was
Andy.
Awesome. So, they're definitely going to do it next year.
Sweet.
It's probably just going to be at a different venue, but it's going to be right down the street from where it was this time. And hopefully it'll be bigger and better than this year.
Awesome. And you were able to pimp RFC out, I hope.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
I told everyone to go on our Facebook site and check out the photos. And we have photos up on our Facebook site if you want to go check out OmegaCon and see what it was like. We had cards everywhere. So I probably went through about a half a box of cards. So I'm not sure how many is in the box, if it's 1,000 or.
It's 250.
250?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
That's not bad. Sweet. Let's see here. And also, you found some stuff at Walmart today, it looks like.
Oh, yes. I found Hoist and Thundercracker, which was surprising because this is the first time I've seen any of the IDW figures in store. And I found the two that no one else really found yet. And then today I was also in Toys R Us just out of chance, and I found all of the Series 3 Creo figures.
So jealous. I didn't even know that Hoist and Thundercracker had shipped yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been turning up for the last week or so.
Just in PA, though, right? Just in PA, though, right?
No, I've seen sightings from Florida and maybe California.
Oh, okay.
I need to see if I have a pre-order in for those, because I need those.
But like I said, it's just been within the last several days that the sightings
started. I do not. The next thing I have up for pre-order that's supposed to ship is Platinum Series Pretty King.
And I know mine shipped already. In Tennessee, too, so.
Yeah, Tennessee, because Hey Mickey found me some of those, some of the deluxes yesterday.
Yeah.
Neat.
Where'd you order your Platinum Pretty King from?
No comment. So, did yours already ship?
Yeah, mine shipped from Hasbro Toy Shop. It's supposed to be here Friday.
Holy crap. Okay, maybe I should go check out HTS. How much was shipping on it?
Free.
Yeah, let me go check that real quick.
And I had a 15% off coupon. Brian, I can give you a 15% off coupon. It works out to be like $100.
Why don't you send that my way? That would be awesome.
Yeah, no problem.
Just hold up on the camera and let him copy it down. I'm sure that
Sweet. Okay, let me go ahead and cancel
Put it in the chat, or in our chat.
And, you know, Brian, you could probably go and hit a couple of Walmarts over the weekend and find a Hoist and Thundercracker for yourself.
I may end up doing that. Sweet.
Well,
because it looks like Walmart did skip over the first wave of IDW Deluxe and is just, you know, starting off with the second set, which still includes the toys from the first assortment. So
yes.
Either way, you're not really missing out on anything.
And just if I can add to that, I did see the first of the remix wave of Generation Voyagers back on the shelves. It was a Fall of Cybertron Blaster and Grimlock with one of each, and then one Springer and one Blitzwing, which I did see on Big Bad Toy Store a few months ago as being offered. So Grimlocks and Blasters are now out in the wild. It's just Blaster's still one per case, and now Grimlock's one per case, but at least they're available out at retail again.
I need to try to find a Sandstorm still.
I've come across four total. I found two more at Target this past weekend.
Nice.
I mean, I didn't buy them, but yeah.
Well, we understood that.
So, there was some news that leaked about Transformers 4. Apparently, there's some question on whether or not we should actually bring it up, since Paramount is sensitive.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to note that the photos were taken down, but the news story around the photos were not, so we can probably talk about it.
Okay, so there was a call sheet for the movie, and it confirmed, Transformers 4 confirming that we are getting Dinobots and a couple other characters. So, yay, I guess, if you care.
Well, there is one photo, and I don't know if that's what photo that's from, the only one that's still on T-Formers, and it's a Stegosaurus with, like, a Volkswagen Beetle
attached to it.
It looks horrible. But
is that, I guess, maybe a stand? That's got to be a stand-in, kind of like when they would do the sticks with the paper mask before. God, I'm just, I don't really care.
Well, it's, I remember Michael Bay saying that he would not have Dinobots in the movie because he didn't like them, but again,
but he also said he wasn't coming back for a third movie.
Yeah, right. Michael Bay told us that actually he didn't go back on?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's nice to finally get a confirmation of that. I know I've been wanting Dinobots as long as they were done properly, but it'll be nice to see their take on it in the movie universe. And that could be some very interesting toys.
That is something I've heard. And I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but I heard that this weekend from reliable sources, that basically part of the plot in the movie is that they're going to go back in time somehow.
Sorry.
Take that for what kind of explains the old China theme we may be getting.
I'm thinking that if we get, you know, Dinobots, Don was saying that I think that they could be interesting looking. I'm expecting like Snarl to look pretty much like Leadfoot. I don't expect much difference between, you know. I'm just the character designs, the models are all just indistinct. I think they really need to address that whole sort of look, not drastically, but maybe, I don't know, tighten it up a bit. Dark of the Moon was not as bad as Revenge of the Fallen for stuff bleeding together on screen, but I don't know. I still really think if they're going to change it up a little, they need to change it up some more.
Okay, so 3 kind of replaced the bag of knives with the bag of hangers.
Yes.
And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hot.
I miss having Rob Springer on.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I really hope that they do some mixing up. I don't know. We'll see. We'll get what we get. Yeah. Whining and complaining won't fix it.
It comes out summer of next year, right? So we should be getting some kind of images out of this soon.
Yeah. Probably by Toy Fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Hopefully they at least get Greg Berger to do the Grimlock voice.
They won't.
That's already confirmed. I thought that was confirmed already.
Well, that I heard a rumor about that, but I didn't bring it up because it was all, you know, out in the ether.
Okay.
Ether.
No, the ether.
But yeah, XV, I thought we, instead of a bag of hangers, this time we have Asian Megan Fox.
It is Asian Megan Fox this go round. So
Three, we had the bag of hangers.
I would figure that instead of like Greg Berger, they would get like Will Smith or somebody to do Grimlock. Daniel Craig.
I want Samuel L. Jackson doing a Dinobot.
Now the problem is, if Samuel L. Jackson did something, he would do like a mini bot. It would bring like Wheelie back, and he would voice Wheelie.
Why don't we just get Ben Affleck and piss off everybody else that's not already?
Although, you know, Samuel L. Jackson as Wheelie, I could almost kind of see it in a Michael Bay movie.
I would love that. Exactly, it'd be funny.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Just, you know, completely reimagine the movie Wheelie into something taller and more orange.
So on lighter and more positive news, Shout Factory...
I can't really get much lighter than that.
I know. Shout Factory is releasing the Unicron Trilogy and Animated on DVD. I'm assuming Blu-ray as well.
Armada, Energon, Cybertron, and Animated.
But not Rids. Rids not happening.
No, because I think Disney's probably still got their grip on it. Probably.
But on?
No, I was going to say the same thing you said, but no information on Rid. But at least we'll be able to finally get all of Animated. And that'll be nice. That'll be real nice.
Yeah. And maybe it will actually be in the widescreen format in which it was produced.
Yep. Yeah.
Have we ever seen any of that?
Didn't the Hub start airing it? In widescreen when they picked it back up? I think they did.
I don't watch the Hub, so I don't know.
I don't really either, but there was like, you know, a to-do about it because, hey, finally, here's some widescreen Animated.
Yeah, I think it was. I'm not 100% positive. But I'm also wondering with this, I hope they don't do one big box set of them all, because that's going to be really expensive to buy. I hope they actually break it down into individual series.
Well, practically everything else they do it both ways, so I can't see that they wouldn't here.
So you don't want to be forced into buying Energon?
No. No.
Well, here's the thing. They may know how bad Energon was received, and they may only do a bundle set at the beginning because they know they won't sell any Energon by itself.
Don
may be right. Who knows?
What they'll do is sell Armada, Cybertron, and Animated whole series sets, each one having 1/3 of Transformers Energon.
It's like the Build-A-Figure.
Yes.
The Build-A-Series. I like that.
Yeah, each one of them will contain 1 disc of Transformers Energon.
So in the U.S., basically we've had now every series released on DVD except for Robots in Disguise, Beast Wars 2nd, and Neo?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Now, they were released in Japan, but they are prohibitively expensive.
Just like all home video media in Japan.
Yeah, and terrible, but I would still like to get them here.
Oh, Brian, also, on a related note, it looks like that we may be getting Victory next year in on Blu-ray.
Why?
I saw that as...
Why specifically Victory?
Well, probably... this is a guess, but after reading the news article, it was a merchandise press release from a trade show, and that my guess is of all the Transformers animated product from Japan that before Beast Wars, nothing else could handle a Blu-ray transfer and not look like crap. Because as much as I love Master Force, the animation quality would not handle a Blu-ray upgrade. Victory had enough budget for their animation. It would probably handle the Blu-ray conversion the best.
Okay.
So,
I'll buy that.
So that would be nice to see Victory, you know, in high definition.
You know what would be nice to see? Victory with ball joints.
Yeah.
Of course, this also may lend theory that if we are getting a Masterpiece Star Saber, it could all be working together for something along those lines, too, so... You never know how much is being built behind the scenes.
So, XV, what do you think of Barricade?
Barricade that I have on my podcast sometimes?
No, the yes. other one, the Transformers 2.0 collection figure.
Oh, kind of looks like a Muppet.
You've just completely ruined it for me.
A Muppet.
So what was I supposed to say?
I don't know. I like it.
If I just completely ruined it, you had some preconception of what this was going to turn into, and I'm curious now. What.
I thought you would like this. I think it looks awesome.
No, I actually am not really that.
Like the movies, but I just wasn't expecting a movie figure out of this.
If we're getting one movie character. I would want it to be Barricade. I think I really like Barricade. It bugs me a little that he's not a Mustang, but you know, I think this is great. Am I alone here?
No. I think it looks. I think for that mold, that's an excellent choice for the mold for the character, and it looks like a great prime style character. I mean, I can see him being in the next show, whatever it might be. So I think it looks great.
This is based to some extent on a model from the Transformers Universe game that we were all able to go and pre-register our usernames on at BotCon 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the game was coming out imminently at that point.
right.
So that's the basis for this. The deco, at least.
So they're basing it on something that never came out.
And probably never will, no.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I just... the head doesn't really suit... The head doesn't suit. There's too much purple in the robot, I think.
I like it. I was actually...
not appealing to me.
I like it. I don't know.
Well, if you like it, you definitely don't know.
Getting 7 figures in Series 2, I think that's great.
But you only get the 7th one if you pay for the first 6.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's going to be a mystery figure.
Probably a second use of the Scout.
So what do you think? I was going to say, what do you think's left from BotCon 2008? But
what?
Nothing. Like what's left? What's left in the Fun Pub closet? But yeah, so I'm really excited about. Now that the subscription service Series 1's actually rolling out, I'm actually really looking forward to the mail. It's coming out, it seems like almost every 2 months.
They're shipping monthly and billing every other month.
Yeah.
For people who did not pay all at once.
That was me.
You did monthly installments or you did one lump sum?
3 installments.
Okay, so you actually ended up paying more.
Yeah.
Not much more, though.
No. Have we heard what the third figure being shipped out is? Has anyone seen any reports of what it is?
Well, it hasn't shipped yet, so no.
Oh, okay. I thought it was in the process of being shipped out. I'm sorry.
I really want
if
Ultramammoth.
So, it's the first I've heard of it.
I think they're going to make us wait till last on Ultramammoth. I hope I'm wrong, but...
When it came up that there weren't going to be any Voyager figures in the second subscription service, one thing they pointed to was that there was logistics problems with including a Voyager figure, and I'm kind of wanting to bet that they mean that they had a hard time coming up with packaging for it.
Well, not just that. They can ship the other figures first class.
Yeah.
And they cannot ship that first class because that's more than 13 ounces.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's not just packaging, it's just shipping it at a cheap rate.
Yeah, it's the logistics of them, you know, having to spend more money than they want to actually deliver the product.
Like, since I've been doing more eBay lately, I've been figuring out that I can charge, like, $2.50 shipping on something, and, you know, overall the price is better for the buyer because they don't expect to pay priority mail shipping, which could be like $7. If it'll fit under 13 ounces, it can ship for like $2.
Question though, what did the first year subscription service cost total?
About $360.
Yeah, $340, $350, $360, something like that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
When I spend that kind of money, they can afford to pay. They can afford to ship priority mail.
Obvious, yeah. Yes. In any normal circumstance, you are absolutely right. Fun pub.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Actually, but the thing is, first class is almost as good as priority, and it's a lot
quicker.
It is.
Yeah. It is, every bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you're shipping across the country, it's pretty darn fantastic.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, the only thing is, nowadays, with them including the insurance up to $50 with priority, if you have something that you need, like if it's an eBay transaction and you feel a little worried about it, if you do a priority, it may be cheaper going that way than going first class and buying insurance. So there may be some cases where you want to use
it. Can you do insurance on first class?
I think you can do insurance on any mail service.
I don't think you can on parcel.
Yeah, parcel I don't think you can, but everything else. Okay. Or is it media you can't do insurance?
Probably can't do it on media either.
Media seems possible.
Okay, so that's eBay.
Well, it's something that we all have to deal with, basically.
It
so,
is true.
You know.
Being collectors and people who sell occasionally, you do have to worry about that. And it does inform you when it comes to all of this logistic stuff with
you know, these are the kind of things that our podcasts develop around, common experiences that we can talk about at random that have maybe tangential relations to the actual topics.
Yes, so
the also superhero time and poop.
So I guess it's time sort of pretty much to jump to this topic. We don't do that many roundtable discussions anymore. We mostly talk about the news, and this is news related. But XV had pointed this out in our email distribution list this week, and I pretty much think that you can't lump third parties together. But at the very least, I think and this third party has gone a little maybe too far, overreaching a little bit, because we're getting third-party Fall of Cybertron Metroplex. What?
There are a lot of things we do not know about this figure.
Well, that's right. We don't know how big it is.
Why it's necessary.
Exactly. We don't know how big it is. We don't know who's making it.
I don't care how big it is. I don't need it.
I'm gonna just make a guess and say that the people making this are the same people that made Planet X Genesis. Was that
That's what I thought too.
Is Planet X the group name?
Planet X, I think so.
Yeah, the people that made the Omega Supreme,
yeah,
I think are probably the ones behind that, and I guess they are Planet X.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Cause
and that's the first thing I thought of.
The CG model kind of looks similar in style, I guess.
Yeah. And which would make sense if it's in scale with Genesis and it's, you know, the same company. And I don't really think we should complain about third parties.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
we should.
Yeah, we should.
Well, here's my point. I know we like to joke about three Predakings coming out at the same time.
It's not a joke. It's real.
And it's hilarious.
It is funny. But if you look at it, that gives the buyer a whole bunch of options. You don't have to buy it.
And it puts two other companies out of business.
You don't have to buy it. It's better than you buying the unique toys, Predaking, which everyone's saying the Mastermind is the best one. And then, you know, a year or two down the line, then the Mastermind one comes out. And you said, if I would have known that, I would have just bought the Mastermind instead of the unique toys. Now that they're all coming out at the same time, you have the choice.
If they're going to do it sequentially, yeah, I mean, it kind of sucks for the person who buys the first one. But at the same time, there's no call to do three different companies.
So,
when you're the second and third company and you've been planning this for a while, but you see the other person's already reached the publicity stage, like, okay, how much are we going to lose if we cut this off? Yeah, let's just sweep this away for now. We'll see how bad they do this, and then maybe revisit in a year or two.
Has third party officially jumped the shark at this point?
Yep. Okay, here is my thing. We have gotten to the point where the third parties, you know, the idea was originally the third parties would do things that Hasbro can't.
Or didn't make sense for them to do.
Yeah, so now what we have is the third parties
Hasbro to do.
Yeah, so now what we have is the third parties coalescing into alternate Hasbro. We have the third parties doing, you know, the same things that we always complain about with Hasbro. Three versions, five versions of the same damn characters, and none of the other obscure little characters we want to see. It's, you know, now we've got them basically doing another Metroplex entirely because Hasbro is doing a Metroplex. I am certain that had a very large part to do with this decision. You know, it's the point is to, I thought, well, the point obviously is to make money, but the point, you know, if you're going to make money, you need to be looking at the things that collectors don't have. If you're just trying to become alternate Hasbro, for one thing, that's stupid, and it's across the line of, you know, skirting the IP and not giving a damn into just full-on scummy. We're making our own Hasbro with blackjack and hookers. There is no point to this.
Well, if you want to get into the IP thing, don't forget that someone's already in the process of making an IDW design Optimus Prime figure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, iGear is doing a Starscream based mostly on an IDW design.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole IP concern, if such ever existed, is pretty much evaporated. But, I mean, if you take the two Metroplexes, you know, the Hasbro one, yes, I can see where people are going to have objection to the alternate modes a little bit because, yeah, it's a little bit abstract, probably a little more so than the original Metroplex. But at the very least, you get this, like, neat, semi-coffee table, semi-aircraft carrier thing out of one mode. But this third-party one basically turns into, you know, a factory block.
Yeah.
It turns into this box's shape with smokestacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it looks like a cool city.
No, it doesn't. It looks like a factory. That's what I just got finished saying.
Third-party
Metroplex turns into the abandoned warehouse district.
Yeah, or it looks like the lair of the Thundercats.
Yeah,
I'll take
either one,
but the abandoned warehouse district, mostly.
But, I mean, I'm just saying, you don't have to buy it, and it gives you more choices. And everyone says that we're not Hasbro's core market. Their core market is kids. This toy is not going to be in Toys R Us, so it's not hurting Hasbro's core market, which is probably why Hasbro hasn't done anything about it yet. But I, as consumers, give me as many choices as you can. I'll choose what I want to spend my money on. So I'm all for make this figure in 50 sizes if you want. It may not make good business sense, but at least me as a consumer has choices when I want to spend my money.
And this Metroplex is really just a symptom of a bigger problem. It's just the thing that we're focused on right now. But remember the giant Overlord that's in the process of coming out?
Yep.
You know, the thing that's bigger than the original, which was not a small toy
Nope.
Start with. You know, it's this, basically we're looking at a third party bubble.
Yes. Markets can and do crash, and you know, they don't,
and this just, is the process of it.
And they don't just happen at random. Something has to cause it.
Right.
Almost always. And this right here, you know, I think this is probably the third or fourth big item, not necessarily in size, but just in, you know, publicity that's come out that I just think really, if people buy this, what I expect from this is I expect they probably will produce several. They won't sell. And third part, the people that actually sell this crap, which are people like, you know, BBTS, TS Source.
Yeah, the retailers.
Yeah, exactly. They are going to be less hesitant, you know, they're going to be more hesitant to buy this stuff.
They're going to be more hesitant to buy from unproven brands is what it's going to come down to. Because in the last year, I cannot even count the number of new third-party imprints that have started up and announced products.
And you can't even tell who they are. Sometimes it's the same people. It's like they're trolling
us. Just different arrangements of same people.
Yeah, I think – I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think at this point, the best case scenario is that after oversaturation is over and we have collapsed, all of these people coalesce into one or two small companies with the best talent of all the companies involved. And, you know, then we will only get maybe two Predakings instead of five. I know it's only three. I'm exaggerating for comic effect.
Yeah.
You know.
But even still, that would be the market adjusting to the demand. And I'm okay with that. I mean, this is a process. We have companies like Unique Toys. Is it Unique Toys? Impossible Toys? One of those two.
Impossible Toys is in the process of folding right now.
Exactly. So. Because they made horrible toys. So well, now they're not...
It's not just that they made not great toys. It's that they produced too much at once. The Tetra Jets was pretty much the last straw for them because they made literally seven different ones to sell simultaneously. And I believe what I heard right after they announced they were going to close was that they only sold a few hundred units total of those. Across all seven, they only sold a few hundred units. So I mean,
they're collectors' items.
They were obviously into losses, you know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the point I'm driving at here. There's so many new small companies starting up, or groups, whatever you want to call them, and things like Fans Project and Mastermind, maybe Make Toys. You know, they're proven values. They're going to endure through whatever collapse the third party market will suffer in the next year or so. And I do firmly believe that's going to come. But like you say, Brian, the retailers are going to be very reluctant to pick up, you know, full size, full figures from new companies because it's going to be a big risk. The third party market's done really great in the last couple of years, and it's just making it swell at an unsustainable rate.
What if we hit another? I don't know. What was it the most recent like down year for collectors?
Beanie Babies.
09, something like that. Like around Revenge of the Fallen. I mean, there comes periods when fans buy more, fans buy less. Yeah. I mean, look at eBay. eBay used to have ridiculous prices, and now you can get most stuff on eBay at a decent price because people aren't willing to buy the stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. There's going to come a point where the fans, you know, the hardcore collectors aren't going to buy this junk because they're just not going to be interested in it. Well, it's either going to be a retread of the Hasbro, or it's going to be really good, and Hasbro is going to crack down on it.
And I'm not sure they would probably have to go really, really far over the line before Hasbro would crack down. Because the impression I've gotten is that the people in charge now have a lot more apathy. Is not really the word I want to use, but they're a lot more willing.
Go ahead.
They're a lot more willing to look the other way on it than Aaron and the old guard.
I think some of them probably think some of it's pretty cool, too.
Well, the old guys thought stuff was pretty cool. They wanted to be able to ignore it as much as they could, which is why it's always like, we don't really have a comment about that when somebody would actually bring it up at a BotCon panel.
Yeah.
They don't want you to bring it up because they don't want to have to acknowledge that's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, being someone that's bought some of the third-party stuff, and I try to follow this as best I can, but I believe the biggest thing, the biggest problem facing the third-party industry right now is a lack of communication in between themselves and, in some cases, with the fans and the customers. Because if they don't get on the same page and they keep this – I mean, it was bad enough with two Devastators, because I know a lot of people – when Giant and Hercules came out, each had very different aesthetics to hit different collect. But that in that case, it was good because if you bought one, you generally wouldn't buy the other because of aesthetics, scale, or something like that. But because these companies are not talking to each other and they need to get on the same page about avoiding – I mean, I agree with Diecast. Competition is always good. That's the free market economy. But three Predakings is going to split everybody's funds across all these different products.
It's not going to do anything to me because I'm not getting it.
Exactly. Or it's just going to – one company is going to sell a whole bunch and one company is not going to sell as much.
And the company is going to sell the most is going to be Hasbro because they have the Platinum Edition coming out.
And that company that doesn't sell that much – has to learn, okay, what did we do wrong here? And if the company can't learn and they can't evolve and they can't figure out how to, you know, get our money in this third-party economy, then they're probably going to exit just like Impossible Toys. And I'm okay with that.
In the case of the Predakings, I think TFC is going to be the first one out. Because they're already on a shaky foundation after Uranos.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So and it's coming out late. I mean, that's the one we really
haven't seen. Uranos is coming out late? I'm sorry. I couldn't not.
Go ahead, Don.
I just think that the companies need to have better – they need to realize they are all part of the same – I'm going to use an old term, the old web ring. The old web ring. And that they need to intercommunicate to make sure that –
they're in business. Because, they're competing against each other.
Yeah, that's like saying Coke and Pepsi need to talk to each other.
No. Yeah, Coke could teach Pepsi how to make a decent cola.
Now, I'm just saying because they are in competition with each other, but they're also in a unique position that they are kind of in a gray area already and that they need to make sure that, okay, what we're doing is stuff that Hasbro's not doing or stuff that we won't get, like the Headmasters from Fans Project. I don't expect to see a new Headmaster from Hasbro ever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but they need to make sure that they're intercommunicating with each other to say,
I think you're hitting the nail on the head, it's because it's a small market. Mm-hmm. Now, if it were a larger market, no communication whatsoever, doesn't matter, who cares. They're in it to win it, but they're not because there's a finite amount of money.
Yeah, right. They're a subset of a subset of a subset of a fandom.
Yeah.
And I obviously the intent was always to make some money, but I think at the outset of getting stuff in on the order we're getting now, you know, part of it was also because the people making the stuff wanted to have these things themselves, and they thought it'd be cool for other like-minded people to be able to buy them from them.
Exactly.
But a lot of it now is a matter of a whole business model, and that's where it starts to be a problem. I think when a lot of the groups that are out on the fringes end up dying off, and it comes back down to a few core groups doing large items.
Yeah.
It can be an environment where they can intercommunicate, coordinate a little bit. You know, there's going to be room at that point for everybody to make money and not retread over each other. It'll be better. It'll be better for everyone, I think, producers and consumers.
Yeah,
and there will still be a space for the smaller groups making, like, you know, new heads, new accessories, like, you know, Dr. Wu Render Form. you know, those exist in their own sub-market too.
Yeah, so I don't think there's much left to be said about this whole thing. I think we pretty well covered that. Before we jump to Q&A with Rob Springer, though, I do want to mention, did anyone see that cream-colored Linkin Park sound wave that's coming out?
Ugh. Oh, that's not cream-colored, Brian. That's earwax.
Isn't it horrible?
it's bad.
It's why?
I thought the gold-plated...
Wasn't that going to be chrome?
It was going to be gold-plated, and it looked bad enough. It looked gaudy then. Now it just looks sad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you could have bought it and said, look at my Lucky Draw sound wave.
Yeah.
Now it's like, look at my beige sound wave.
Look at my sound wave sculpted entirely from my own earwax.
Mm-hmm.
Earwax wave. God. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to Q&A with Rob Springer. After that, we'll have a couple comic reviews. What are you reviewing pre-recorded, XV?
We got More Than Meets the Eye 20 and Beast Hunters number 4.
Cool, and after that, we'll come back with a review of Regeneration 1,
94.
Number 94. Okay. We'll be back right after this.
You boys a bit bored? Snap me to it! Snap me to a Slim Jim!
Hey guys, it's Rob, and this week's question comes from our good buddy Grufflock. Grufflock asks, hello, sir. Recently, it has become most apparent that Creon TFs is a no more thing. It has ended. It is an ended experience. So I ask you, ... what is it about the geek culture that causes so much negativity upon every and all announcements? Well, Gruffy, thanks for your question. And, you know, you're not the first person I've heard say that the Creon TFs are over, and guys, I don't know where you're getting that from, because they're not. there's still several things that they showed us at BotCon and San Diego Comic Con that haven't came out yet. Just the other day, I saw the new release for a Creo Transformers multi-bucket, which comes with the Optimus, Bumblebee, and Jazz smaller Creo kits. And it's like Smokescreen and Red Alert's Creons inside the little kit that's going coming out to stores now. If anything, what we saw is an indicator of what we're getting for the rest of the year. And those blind bags might be over for the rest of the year, because there's still those Cityville and G.I. Joe blind bags coming out, as well as Star Trek ones. So there might not be any more blind bags straight out coming out first year, but I'm pretty sure they'll be coming out again after the end of the year. If we really want something concrete, you know, Toy Fair will be the place to go. Not to mention, let's just face it. A lot of people have been guessing bot shots are over, and it looks like they're not. So just, you know, be a little patient. You got those Create Your Own Creo kits coming out, as well as those new Creo play sets. Coming, and those have, you know, crayons and all that. I just got the new Creo combiners this weekend, so they ain't over yet. I mean, Walmart just started carrying them again after a good year or so of not carrying Creo products. So far, it's just the Cityville Invasion, but that's still Creo. So Walmart's obviously getting into carrying them again. Might I add, check out those Cityville Invasion ones as well. They are pretty darn neat. As far as your question about what is it about geek culture that makes everything so negative, I don't know. I used to really get kind of wondering about this myself, because it's like, hey, you guys are fans of this. How come you do nothing but poo-poo all over everything? And, you know, everyone's got the right to their own opinion. And I'm certainly no one to tell someone they're wrong for thinking differently of something than I do. I mean, let's just face it. If you get mad at someone for having a different opinion of you than you over something as unimportant as this, that's pretty much intellectual fascism. And it's just, you know, I don't want to participate in that behavior. A lot of people certainly don't mind it or don't think they're doing anything wrong. And whatever, if they get that whacked out and upset over something like that, I mean, here's a constructive bot. This is Ironhide. I dig these guys. These are really good fun. Some people don't. You know? And the minute I say, well, it's really neat. It's cool. I have a lot of fun putting them together. They might be like, bah, 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 bah. And it's like, what happened to you, man? You know? Or, hell, just look at any message board and look at the third party arguments. At this point, in my opinion, I made that vibrate. In my opinion, it's kind of just really a rehashing of the old Takara versus Hasbro argument. Well, now it's Hasbro versus third party. In other words, it's just another way to make Hasbro the big bad guy in a situation. But people, you know, it's just at the end of the day, it's whatever you prefer and who really cares. But there's people who really get worked out of shape over it. And is there any reason other than my opinion's right, yours is wrong? You know, there's no right choice here in which toy you prefer to buy. Period. You know, you get all worked out of shape because someone prefers official stuff. Why? And if you get all worked out of shape because someone prefers unofficial stuff, why? But that's just the way it is, you know? There's just a... I want to say a lot of people are just unhappy. And misery loves company. And that might be the cornerstone of all this negativity. As to why geek culture, well, how many geeky people have been picked on their whole life? Probably a lot of unhappy people right there. But that's just rough shot, and be honest with you, Adam. Grufflux's real name's Adam, by the way, everybody. Be honest with you, man. I wish I could tell you why there's so much negativity, because it's just, most of the time it's just like knee-jerk reaction, like, oh, hey, something, yeah, we're going to find Elvis at 7-Eleven still alive before we find the answer to this one. I think it's just the human condition, and the human condition dictates that some people just be dicks. Yep. Not to mention, that vocal negativity you see in majority, hello, something just happened. My phone sometimes just makes noises, and I'm like, why did you make that noise? But I was going somewhere with that. No, the human condition, that is just sometimes, you know, that negativity knee-jerk reaction. Sometimes I don't even think a lot of it's genuine, to be honest with you. I think some of it's put on. Because if you'll notice, a lot of that's actually the minority of behavior in fan types. Like, okay, years ago, a lot longer than I'd like to admit, you know, I was at BotCon, and they're showing the Armada stuff. Online, you hear nothing but, you know, I was hearing all this poo-pooing and bah, some bitch, blah, 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 over Armada. Got there. Every time they'd show a toy or say something new, this building, which had hundreds or thousands of people in this room, rah, just clapping and everything. So sometimes it's just like, which side's being genuine here, you know? That's just one example. It's just, everyone says how much they hate those movies. Look how much money they make. Someone's watching them. Just the way it is, I guess. Yeah, it's just the way it is. Let's just ignore them. Let's all band together. Grufflock, you, me, anyone who wants to be part of this, we'll all touch our hands to the screen. Just like on the Cartoon Express. Form a membership here. People just ain't going to give those guys any attention. Like, you don't like something? Whatevs. You like something? Cool. And that's it. Let's just ignore the negativity. I think that'd do us all a world of good. And now I'm going to go eat. Because I'm hungry. So, hey everybody. Constructobots are rad. You might not agree, but I have a whole lot of fun playing with these things. And, yeah. Cowabunga, dudes. We're going to send us back to the gang, because I obviously just woke up and I'm a bit tired. So, this is Rob. Please send your keep sending your questions in. You can send them to Facebook, email, rob@tfradio.net, through our many social means, network means. Go to our website. There's ways to contact us right there. You can send them one. I'll answer it. You can go to, please check out my blog, roborobspringer.tumblr.com, and there's a little thing there where you can send me a question, and that's how Adam just asked me a question. Usually I try to, I don't really get too many of them there, but if I get one, they're usually answered. There, for some reason, Tumblr was acting up, and would not let me answer. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to answer that mofo right here. Because I'm a street. Yeah. But that, yeah, that's that, man. Let's go back to Cool and the Gang and see what's going on there. I bet it's pretty spirited. I bet Dave said something, and they're just discussing it. I'm going to go now. Thanks for watching. Bye.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
This is crack, rock cocaine. It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. It's the most addictive kind of cocaine, and it can kill you. What's really bad is nobody knows how much it takes. So every time you use it, you risk dying. It isn't worth it. Look, everybody wants to be cool. But doing it with crack isn't just wrong. It could be dead wrong.
Radio Free Cybertron has teamed up with Kokomo Toys and Collectibles in Kokomo, Indiana. If you're in the Kokomo area, visit our store for a huge selection of new and classic toys. Visit online at www.kokomotoys.com for our address and store hours. While you're there, check out our listing of pre-order items, as well as visit our eBay store. Visit us at www.kokomotoys.com. That's KOKOMOTOYS.com. We're also on Facebook.
Warning, the following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books. Okay, so this is going to be the spoiler version of More Than Meets the Eye 20, because I don't think there's any way to talk about this issue without spoiling it. But first, a word from Beast Hunters.
Okay, well, basically, to sum up as quickly as I can, the dinosaur versus Dinobot fight teased at the end of the last issue now happens. The Dinobots win mainly because the cloned dinosaurs are left out of the fridge too long and kind of go bad. And really, the big takeaway from this issue, the art's a little bit better, the writing's a little bit worse, and there are Dinobots fighting dinosaurs in the book, and for some reason, nobody thought to put this on the cover.
Yeah. What I thought about it was that the art was still too focused close in on the fights.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can see some long shots. I think he's trying. It's just, it's going to take a lot of time and practice and judgment to figure out exactly what you should be showing when.
Unfortunately, the book doesn't have that long left.
No, 4 issues.
Now, I mean, I should be clear here. I feel bad that Beast Hunters is getting dropped early.
Me too.
You know, most titles get at least a year's run before they're shut down. This got 8 issues.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the sales after the first issue, from what I saw, for relative to most Transformers comics, have not been great. But part of that, I have to wonder how much support it gets internally, because they're, like I said, dinosaurs fighting Dinobots in the book, not on the cover. It's a nice painting, the main cover, mm-hmm. by Ken Christensen, of Grimlock standing on top of a bunch of smashed Insecticons, who we were dealing with, what, 3 issues ago?
Well, 3 issues ago would have been the first issue, but...
Yeah, and I think there were Insecticons in that issue, in fact. So, yeah. You know, there should have been dinosaurs fighting Dinobots on this cover. There's no sane reason for there not to be.
See, now, if they could get Guido doing covers on Beast Hunters, it would at least up the shelf appeal.
Oh, yeah.
No, I hope Margaret gets another chance to write an ongoing title, because she's a good writer. I think she's maybe being held back a little bit by how the production side of this was being worked out.
Yeah.
The episodes of Transformers Prime she wrote were some of my favorites.
Yeah, mine too.
Hers and Eisenberg's.
Mm-hmm. And the first couple of issues of this that she scripted, I thought were, on the whole, better than these last couple. Mm-hmm. Good news is that she'll be on scripting again next month. It will be her last full scripted story, as I understand how the book works. But at least we get one more.
Yeah. Okay, so more than meets the eye.
Yes.
Now, you know, issue 19 was dense.
Mm-hmm.
You had to sit down and really, like, invest time into reading it to get everything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Issue 20, you could read a little bit faster. I did the first couple times. But that's because there's not so much in dialogue as there is in the visuals.
Yeah.
And, like, the little subtle hints of things.
Yeah, things that I didn't notice until you drew my attention to them, in fact.
Well, like I said, it took me, you know, several passes through it to really start picking up on the little bits here and there.
Yeah. I know I'm old, but there's still something about reading comics on a computer screen that is not as optimal for me as being able to hold them and look at them.
You know, I was actually thinking about that a day or two ago, which is really weird because I'm always thinking about these odd things and then somebody independently brings them up in conversation. But my potential psychic attributes aside, no, I was thinking about this and, you know, I had the IDW Deluxe Wave. And, I flipped through the comics packed in with those, and it, like, the binding.
Mm-hmm.
The way it feels and the way the art kind of cuts off into it just a tiny little bit, compared to seeing these digitally first, I kind of don't like that as much.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if nothing else, I can appreciate digital format for the comic books, just so that, you know, clean pages, whole images, you know, the glossy paper is not glaring on my overhead lights.
Mm-hmm.
I had to put a shade over my monitor, but that's a different matter. But, I mean, I know what you mean. I got, you know, boxes full of old comics in my closet that mice have probably eaten by now since they've been packed in boxes for 15 years. But, yeah, the print thing seems more natural to me, too, but I may be starting to warm up a little bit. Have you ever gotten an issue on Comixology?
No, have not done that yet.
You ought to, because I think that, like, the Transformers titles, after a month or two, they drop them down to 99 cents.
Hmm.
But what's notable is, and Amy talked about this in the past, the guided mode on Comixology.
Uh-huh.
Where it's basically broken down panel by panel.
Hmm.
So you don't have to have a whole page filling your screen. It'll focus in on one panel at a time, and then, you know, you click the arrow, it moves to the next panel in the sequence. It's actually, you know, if you've ever watched, like, a motion comic thing, it's like that, but less stupid. I'm sorry, I don't really have much time to put into motion comics.
Yeah.
No, it's just, it feels like a really natural way to read a comic book digitally.
Okay.
And since you have missed some issues of More Than Meets the Eye over the last 2 years, you know.
Yeah. Which
it would be worth going back and, you know, picking one or two up that way if they're 99 cents each.
Yeah, which to lead back into the discussion of the book and not having seen, sure, not having seen the first, you know, few, like 5-10 issues of it, really there are things I've missed out on in these last couple of issues, things that, you know, did not make as much sense for me as they did for you.
Right. Right, because, all right, one, the major thing that happened is Getaway was brought into the cell with Rodimus and the others at the end of last issue, and he revealed he was working, he was Skids' partner before Skids lost his memory and turned up out in the middle of nowhere in a ship made of legislators, which, besides the fact the ship is made of legislators, no explanation was given for it then or now. That's not really the point, I guess. No. So, yeah, basically, what we see in issue 2 of More Than Meets the Eye, we see the lead-up to and kind of the other side of. Because in issue 2, we just see Skids pop out of warp space with no knowledge of what's going on, no memory of where he came from, just a message written on the wall of the cockpit, and an inhibitor on his back so he can't transform or activate his weapons.
Hmm.
Such inhibitors being a James Roberts hallmark. But anyway, it's something he used in his Eugenesis novel.
Huh.
You should read that too. But so yeah, that's the big thing. We find out Skids' backstory as it pertains to More Than Meets the Eye. Because Skids wasn't really used very much before this. Which is true of most of the characters in More Than Meets the Eye. James Roberts selected them because they hadn't really been developed by anybody else. They were basically blank slates in this continuity for him to work with.
Makes sense.
So, Skids and Getaway were part of the Diplomatic Corps, which is actually a cover name for the Autobot Black Ops Division.
Run, of course, by Prowl.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who made that leap.
Yeah. Well,
okay, I figured out it was probably before it came up in the dialogue. I assume you did, too.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, who else would fit that description?
Yes, and in seeing how they kind of tried to deal with Tyrist and it didn't work because he was too crazy, we're kind of back to our theme of Prowl ruins everything.
Well, and see, that's the thing, though. As I read through the issue a couple more times, I started to think, okay, you noticed Getaway saying bomp a lot when he was talking to Skids and only to Skids.
Yes.
Obviously, that is some kind of trigger word for some preconditioned response he's expecting to get from Skids.
Yeah.
Somehow that just gives me the sense that the backstory he is told is probably not entirely the facts of the matter.
Makes sense.
And when Rodimus asks him if Prowl is the one behind the Special Ops Division, he basically acknowledges the question but does not explicitly say yes.
Ah.
And that's one of those things that's just a little too pointed. It's kind of pointedly deflected.
Yeah.
Which is another Roberts thing. So I kind of think that's maybe a little misdirection.
Hmm. I wonder who it would be then.
Well, that's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It very well could be Prowl because what Getaway was saying was that Skids' homing device was supposed to send him to his handlers, which Prowl had two agents on Lost Light.
Mm-hmm.
At the start, they both got killed within the first two issues.
Yeah.
Conveniently. So, I mean, it could still work out that he's telling the truth more or less.
Yeah.
They're just, it really looks like there's another layer to it. And this is kind of what I was getting at when I was talking about this on T-Formers. This issue has a lot of detail packed into it all of which I think is probably relevant to things that will be revealed in the future and stuff that's already happened. Yeah. So basically, there's not a whole lot you can talk about with this that isn't going to be spoiler material, at least potentially.
Yeah, I mean, at least with some of it, people won't know until at least next week, but...
Yeah, because I checked the shipping list again today, just in case, and yes, More Than Meets the I-21 does still appear to be shipping next week.
Well, not the bad news.
Well, we've had this happen before.
Yeah, and
with the Overlord cliffhanger.
Yeah, and I forget, doesn't IDW have their books printed overseas?
Yes, in Korea, if memory serves.
Yeah, I just have a feeling that there may have been some kind of holdup with the August books, which is why we got everything this week. I mean, what else came out this month, and when did we get it? Robots in Disguise at some point, and then nothing, right?
Robots in Disguise came out, I think, the first week of August.
Yeah.
And then we would have had nothing.
Yeah, so, I mean... Which worked out for us personally, because we didn't have any reviews waiting for us on the way to or from Sharktacon, but...
Yeah. But instead it all just kind of piles on us at the end of the month.
Yes.
Not really the point, though.
No.
No, there's a lot of little visual things, like the one I pointed out to you in particular, where they're inching closer and closer to Brainstorm's briefcase getting opened, probably by Swerve.
Mm-hmm.
Because Swerve, back in the Overlord Aftermath issue, I don't remember the number offhand, maybe 16, but, you know, Swerve basically dedicated himself to eventually opening it, and at the end of this issue, when Rodimus and everybody else who escaped the cell is knocked down and held on the floor by a Weapon of Mass Suggestion, sadly, not my own term I've coined. Swerve is absent.
Yeah.
Swerve's absent from every panel after the jailbreak.
Yeah.
Which is not... Basically, I don't see how it can be a coincidence.
Yeah, and you know, you were talking about layered dialogue. You know, Rodimus says, and then we all walked out of the cell, or all... Was it most of us or all but one of us? And, you know, the first impression would be that he's talking about Tailgate he's carrying.
Yeah. Right.
But then, of course, there's Swerve.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no telling exactly how that's going to develop. But in the process of escaping the cell, because Getaway is an escape expert also, they took the locks off of Brainstorm's briefcase. So there's step one.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the brief scuffle before getting knocked to the floor, Brainstorm's briefcase gets shot off his wrist. So, an unlocked briefcase that's no longer chained to Brainstorm's wrist.
Yeah, so... It's got to be Swerve that opens it, and hopefully to some good use.
Well, it'll do something, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
No, but everything's just pointing to, you know, that happening. And the briefcase getting shot off is one of those little background art details because no attention's really called to it. It's just a little bit in one panel. You see the cable snap.
Yeah. And you're usually too busy looking at Brainstorm getting shot to notice that the first time.
Yeah. We give a lot of credit to James Roberts for how the book's written. But Alex Milne's really on the spot, too, with executing that part of the script.
Yeah, and it is so rare to find a writer and artist that work this well together anymore. You know, just to go back to my oldness, I have read a lot of comic writers talk about basically the people who came up in the Image Comics era and after, and how it is practically impossible to get them to follow your script. And there is no way with an artist like that that this book could be pulled off. The fact that they are working this closely together is you don't see this very often.
They've been working together almost constantly on this title since it started. almost 2 years ago, with very few exception, which is also something that's really not common in the comics world now.
Yeah.
But no, it's just, remember when we were talking about Spotlight Megatron some months back? And, you know, we were making the point that, well, it must be really great when writer and artist are the same person to make sure that the exact vision's expressed to the page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to think that Roberts and Milne actually are accomplishing that more than Nick Roche was by himself.
And apparently this is the last issue before Dark Cybertron starts, I think?
No.
Oh, that's right. There's a wrap-up afterwards, or a recap, more or less.
Something like that. Yeah, so we'll get 21, which wraps up Remain in Light. 22 will be the recap, or I'm not exactly sure what it's supposed to be. It's not exactly like copy paste from other stuff with like new narration or anything. There's new art being made for 22.
Yeah.
You know, it's some kind of flashback look back at the first 2 years of the book, I guess.
Yeah.
And then in, that'll be November, that Dark Cybertron starts with its own title.
Yeah.
Its own number one. And then will be carried on in Robots in Disguise and More Than Meets the Eye, alternating every month.
Yeah.
So, it'll actually be good because we'll get, you know, double installment of the story every month.
Yeah, which will be nice.
Of course, it's still going to go for 5 months.
Yeah, and as far as they've said, I think every issue is going to end up packed in with a toy.
I think.
That's what I heard, so.
Well, it probably is. We know, I think 22 has the pack-in art for Skids.
Ah, that's right, yeah.
And I guess it doesn't really require that the issue focus on a particular character, because look at what Dreadwing's coming with.
Yeah. He from the preview of Robots in Disguise 21, he probably has as much of an appearance in that as he does in the comic he's going to be packed with.
Kind of seems that way, yeah. And it seems like he's in a little bit better shape in 21.
Yeah.
Oops. Well, what's better for a pack-in comic, getting shot and then resurrected, or getting sent to prison?
So we are back. Rob, XV, take it away. Regeneration 1, number 94.
Warning. The following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books.
So, Rob, in this, who would you say is Vegeta?
Galvatron, I mean. it's definitely Galvatron. They really made the DBZ comparisons easier for us this month.
I know! It's like Furman's listening.
Yeah, because you've got the big fight in the front of the book, and then every so often we cut away to see what people are doing, and, you know, you cut away and you see what Krillin and Gohan are doing, you cut away, and when you get to Oolong, you know everyone is really bored. And
I know I was.
The fight between Ultra Magnus and Galvatron is actually pretty good. It is.
That was the part of the book I really enjoyed. The pacing on it was not, you know, quick, but it also, when they were away to other scenes, you could tell time was passing in the fight.
Yeah.
So it didn't feel so dragged out.
Yeah.
The war world is finally there, and all the can't ever remember the actual name for those things. The
whatever those drones are.
Yeah, they keep giving them a proper name, but it just doesn't stick.
Well, it's Stull, whatever it was.
I'm sure. So yeah, they're all on the surface killing things, but no, the main push of the book is Galvatron fighting Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, in the background we also have Primus inhabiting Grimlock's body and telling Rodimus to be stuff.
Yeah,
I don't even remember what. It's that important.
Basically, he's telling Hot Rod to go off and have a special issue next month.
Yes.
Because that's exactly what's happening. We're not getting 95 next month. That will be in October.
Yeah.
For instead, the moment, we're getting issue zero. We're going from 94 to zero.
In 30 days. Yeah, Hot Rod has fallen out of the story and into the plot. Poor guy.
He's fallen into a literal plot hole.
He has.
And I'm okay. So is it just me, or does it seem like throwing the number zero into the middle of the ongoing story is like, hey, guys, I need an extra issue to work all this out. Can we do something here?
Yeah. It has a better ring, I guess, than 94B. But yeah.
94 and a half.
You know, one day when this is finished, I want to go back and read issue zero before issue one and see how little sense that all makes.
Completely.
Uh-huh.
But no, having Guido on the art this month, you know, he's still doing a great Wildman impression. Not my first choice, but he's doing a good job of it. Yeah. And I think it really benefited the fight scene we had because of it.
Yeah, Guido is better with that. I was never particularly thrilled with Wildman and Baskerville's fight scenes to begin with. And Guido is just Guido. He is better at everything.
Yeah. But, I mean, we're basically still at the same point. You know, awesome fight scene that moved the issue along aside. We're still at the same point of... there's a story threatening to happen, and this month, the story is threatening to threaten to happen.
Yes.
Because we're at a point where it should be, all these things have converged together, the narrative should continue, and it's not. It's going on hold. It's going on hold so that they can do a special next month instead.
Yeah, it's like the whole plot's about to happen, and Hot Rod says, excuse me, I have to step out for a minute. And everybody just left sitting there looking at their watches and waiting for him to come back. That's where the comic is right now.
Remember how Mars Attacks the Transformers was this great like satire on the G1 cartoon?
Uh-huh.
Could you just see in a year or so from now getting Matt Frank to do something like that, but based on Regeneration 1's plot?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
I can't remember who wrote Mars Attacks the Transformers. I'd obviously want to have him doing the writing again, but, you know, the Matt Frank art is the standout.
Wasn't that John Barber?
Was it? I thought they got somebody different to do it.
Might have been Nick Roche, in fact.
Regardless, though, you know, same creative team doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, it's just, as long as being able to drag out this Dragon Ball Z comparison and apparently not have it stop being funny. There's material to be mined here, and I'd like to see someone with the capacity actually do it in print. Yeah.
I would like to see someone animate this story just so it could be abridged.
Yes. Well, I was talking about, you know, doing abridged form comic, but I don't think that would work quite the same.
Not quite.
So, has Brian come back yet?
Brian has come back.
Okay, we're done.
Sweet. Yeah. To let Don know, I guess.
So, Melvar, I hope you weren't disappointed by this month's regeneration summary.
So, how long did it take Majin Buu to power up?
Oh, we're not that far along in the sagas yet.
Okay.
No.
So is this like, oh goodness.
I think they just reached Namek.
Oh, so okay. So we're not even like to Frieza or anything yet.
Yeah, Vegeta just fell out of orbit.
Yes, and Ultra Magnus is Rikum.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. That seems about right.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting here looking at all the knockoff G1 stuff that we were talking about earlier. I looked at this stuff before, but I'm like, man, I don't remember the prices being this reasonable.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Especially if they're halfway decent.
Yeah.
Did you ever get that knockoff Metro Titan?
No. David never got back with me, and that website disappeared for some reason.
But imagine that.
There's got to be other sources you can get it from.
I haven't seen it. It's not here anyway.
Well, you can work on that later.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Right now I'm focused on trying to find that knockoff Generations G2 Sideswipe.
Oh, yeah, the... was that the cold branding, the KOLD knockoff Lucky Draw?
No, it was based off the BotCon kit.
No, but the people that made the knockoff of the kit, last thing.
It's whatever CHMS is.
Okay, CHMS. KOLD was doing the various seeker colors, and I think a few other things.
Yeah, CHMS seems to focus on like the Diaclone cars and stuff like that.
Mm. Everybody needs a gimmick.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was pretty good.
Not that I would mind seeing, you know, some Diaclone colors of classic toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially once Generations Skids comes out, somebody needs to, you know, get that out as Crosscut, which was the Tara Transformers given to the Diaclone.
Yeah.
XV, if you remember last week during the crossover podcast, I posted that link for the digital bashes someone had done for the BotCon sets that included the Gobots.
Yeah.
One of those is also the Diaclone set.
I looked at those.
Yeah, some of those are really great.
It was interesting to see how many of those ideas had worked into actual BotCon sets since. It's almost like, you know, someone from FunPub is looking through these things and taking ideas, a lot like that Iron Fist Photoshop I did sometime last year.
I only vaguely remember, though, what my middle name is at this point.
Kevin?
Keith. Yeah.
Well, there's like two names that start with K, so...
Carl.
Well, that's abnormal, that though.
I'll tell Carl Hartman. Carl Hartman, you said that.
I was thinking of Carl Marx. Vollmer.
Yeah, I was thinking Carl Vollmer too. Oh man, yeah. Caffeine is like my best friend right now, so I think we should probably end the show so I can go walk the dog. That's not a euphemism. I literally have to go walk my dog, and then I'm going to go to bed.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
Guys, how's let's see here. Diecast, you're on Twitter at Diecast2. XV is at XVBron. Don Ferguson is at HMRC4VR. For EVR. Yes. And Rob Clay is at FlailThroughs.
Please follow me.
And at REC2750.
Yes.
God, I've been doing this too long. I am at B Kilby. I have been tweeting more. And yeah.
But nobody's noticed.
Nobody's noticed. Here's the problem. I've had so much caffeine that my heart's going crazy, but I'm not any more awake. So
that's when you're reaching the toxicity level, Brian.
Toxicity level is close to 50 grams. I'm nowhere near that. I'm like around 2 grams. So.
Well, you've exceeded your body's tolerance by now anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. I've done that a couple of times. There was this one day when I downed a whole 2 liter of Sun Drop in like 2 hours.
I was bragging to someone.
That was a fun 45 minutes, I gotta tell you.
I was bragging to someone at work today about how I was in a team meeting once when I downed a 2 liter of Diet Dr. Pepper in one go. I literally just downed it straight.
You had to have been thirsty to have been able to do that, because there's no way you could just sit down and be like, oh, okay, I'm going to drink this 2 liter of Diet Dr. Pepper.
No.
Well, no, there's kind of a trick to it, though. You just kind of have to open your throat up and relax all your muscles and just let it kind of pour down by itself.
Well, you have to breathe at the same time. You have to exchange gulps.
Well, it depends how fast you can drink it down.
Yeah.
You might be able to hold your breath for that long.
Yeah. Okay, that's it.
Everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.